Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players, as we explore tone and the gear that gets it. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show. We got a great show for you tonight, and Scott's here, and also Scott's wife is here.
Yes,
just,
she is.
I just wanted to introduce her, Angelina. Hey, Angelina.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
She's sitting in, just wanted to see how this goes, and
wants to know what you're up to.
Yes, yes.
Well, there's been rumors that you've been, you know, just secretly doing guitar deals, you know, covertly before the show.
It's true, actually. Yes. Purchasing new guitars for the future baby.
So. There you go. Anyway, what have you been up to?
It was actually quite a busy week before the show. I put out, I think, like 5 or 6 new videos, a lot of them from our show last week with Norman's Rare Guitars.
Yeah, that was
with
fun.
Some of the guests we had there. If you haven't seen them, go to my YouTube channel, at Selenium on YouTube. Those guys are ridiculously good. They will probably, you'll be seeing them, I think, in the future. And then I put out a video demoing an Audio-Technica wireless system, which is a very cool unit for either guitar, lavalier, instrument mic, or headhorn. So very, very cool. Just want to let everybody know, during our show, if you want to call in and ask a question to our guest, if you are so lucky to get through the lines, you'll be the winner of a Taylor t-shirt, a hat, and a pick set. So as our guests are from Taylor
we
Guitars.
Already got phone, we haven't even introduced our guests, and they're already calling.
Oh, well, hey, there you go. So just so you guys know, some people already must know the number, but it's 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815, and we'll get to your calls when we can. So let's. What have you been up to, Jeff? Anything?
I was listening to the video that we're listening to the music that we had on last week's show. So I re-edited the last week's show. The I had to fade it out because of time constraints. The big jam at the end.
Right.
So I re-edited the complete jam. So if you go on and download last week's show with Norm and Michael Limo and Kenneth Bryan and Frank Rishi, you will now have the director's cut of the show. So, because there's an extra minute or so of actual of them jamming, and they're doing some really cool stuff. So anyway, if you downloaded it right after the show, download it again. It's even more fun.
Very cool. Well, let's bring in our guest. So today we have, I would say, you know, this is pretty exciting for me to have this company on our show because they're a huge guitar company. They're, you know, very innovative. They're doing all kinds of, you know, fantastic, you know, new technologies in their guitars, and the craftsmanship, if you ever see some of their high-end stuff, is just ridiculous. It's just awesome. So let's bring in Aaron DeBlow, who is the North American sales manager from Taylor. Welcome, Aaron.
How's it going, guys?
Doing great. Thanks for being on the show.
Good. Yeah, thanks for having me. No problem.
Well, Taylor is fairly a new company, I guess, in some ways. I mean, it's actually been around quite a bit, but it's an extremely successful newer company, been around about over 30 years. Can you kind of tell us this history of how it got started? It's pretty interesting.
Sure, yeah, and you're right in terms of, you know, the legacy that you know, other guitar companies had, you know, well over hundreds of years. We are fairly new, you know, newcomer to the whole theme, but yeah, next year will be our 40th year, and it's kind of like the true American dream, no pun intended, because that's what the shop was called when Bob Taylor and his partner Kurt Listbug took it over in 1974. Bob Taylor had been building guitars, I guess, since high school. You know, even before that, he was tinkering around with stuff, and the whole reason you guys should thank. You should thank this guy named Michael Broward. That was Bob's his neighbor right across the street, and he had an electric guitar, and Bob looked up to the guy like crazy, right? So there was one day, Bob Taylor will tell you, he didn't know where he got the $3 when he was 9 years old, but Michael Brower sold him his first guitar. It was like a plastic guitar. It was painted black and red, had this weird black and red sunburst. But Bob saw that it had some binding on there, and the binding was scuffed up. So he wanted to fix it, right? He's 9 years old, and he wanted to figure out how to fix it. So he started sanding on the binding. You know, he realized that it was painted on. He started sanding on it and tried to get some model paint and paint the white binding back on. But then it realized it looked worse than it did when he first started. So so he started sanding back and forth and using different tapes and figuring out. He said it kind of worked out to where it was before he even tried messing with it. But Bob will tell you, like, that's what kind of got him started, you know? That's what kind of guy he is. He's always looking for ways to make things better, whether if it's building machines and tooling up for things like that. That's just kind of how he is. So Bob and Kurt kind of, they toiled along through the 70s. I don't want to give you the past 40 years of history, but the one big thing in the 70s that kind of put Taylor on the map was that Neil Young was seen playing a 12-string, a Taylor 12-string in the movie Rust Never Sleeps. So Bob and all his friends went to check it out when the movie came out here in San Diego, and sure enough, big Taylor headstock right on the screen. So that, you know, that kind of gave him a little bit of, you know, pumped him up a little bit and kept him going. So in the 80s, Prince was seen playing a Taylor guitar. We made a purple guitar for him, and it was seen in the Raspberry Beret video. And then it really wasn't until the 90s when a phenomenon called MTV Unplugged hit. And that's what really put Taylor on the map, because before Taylor came out, you had your Martin, your Gibson, your Guild. Nobody needed somebody else. But the disco scene kind of eroded the whole acoustic guitar community. And then there was that big revival after disco. You know, you had the folk rock guys come out. Country had a massive resurgence. All the electric rock bands were seen having great comebacks with this phenomenon called MTV Unplugged. And the majority of people who, and if you guys don't know, that was where all the rock bands, everybody had to play acoustic, right? The whole band was stripped down, no matter how many pieces were in the band, how electric it was all stripped down. And everybody was just playing acoustic. So that kind of helped Taylor out right there, because all of those people who played electric guitar gravitated towards Taylor, because Taylor had the slimmest necks available. And it kind of felt like they were playing their electric guitar. So that's what kind of put Taylor on the map, and we're still here today. And, you know, you've got a roster of hundreds of people who play Taylor guitars. So it's pretty cool to be a part of the company and a lot of the history that's gone along with it, you know?
I remember in the late 70s or mid-late 70s, I was at a concert with Leo Kottke was playing. And that's the first time I had seen those guitars, the Taylors. He was using, I think, a 6-string and a 12-string. And it was amazing. The sound was just incredible.
Right.
He was I think he's still a big user, a big Taylor user, right?
Yeah, we definitely don't have a lot of signature models. We, you know, Bob Taylor likes to say, you know, the customer, the end user, the guy who's in his bedroom or on stage, those are our artists. Like, you know, just a regular Joe who wants to play guitar, those are our artists. But Leo Kottke, we had a signature model for quite a while for him, and it's still kind of a sought after model today. Yeah, we did a 6 and a 12 string.
Yeah. Yeah, but I remember that was the first time I was like, cuz we were like straining our eyes like, what, you know, we immediately thought, okay, he's going to use Martins, but it's like, no, what's that name on there? We couldn't see it, but it was, and when I bought all his albums, his tone, the Taylor sound was killer.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things I have to say is that the 12-string Taylors, they just play like 6-strings. It's amazing, in my opinion. I mean, I wish my 12-string, which I will leave unnamed, plays like a Taylor, but yeah, it's...
And that's a big thing too, Scott. It's like, that's you know, Bob Taylor, if he takes a group of people and let's say he's just asking them, it's like, okay, how many of you think that Taylor makes the best sounding guitar available? And you know, they're in front of Bob Taylor, so you know, they may be apt to just raise their hand, but he'd say probably 75 or 80% of people may raise their hand. So let's say, okay, well, I'm gonna go after, you know, that 20-25% of people who don't think my guitars sound the best. And let's say he did everything, design and built guitars to try to go after that you know, those people were chasing a different sound. And he did that, then he had the same group of people. Let's say they raised, you know, he asked the same question. Well, maybe the first 75 or 80% of people might not raise their hand after he, you know, try to revoice it to chase that other 20%. So he'll say, you cannot win. Tone is so subjective, you know. It's like you can't win that ball game, but you can win the playability ball game. And that's what Bob's always done, you know. It's like our guitars are some of the best playing guitars around, and that's what he strives to achieve.
Well, so let's go through some of the different body shapes and woods with a Taylor guitar, and kind of let's talk about how you would piece together one of your guitars for different types of styles of music or a different type of person you are, whether you're a singer songwriter or you're backing up a band, or how you would choose a Taylor guitar to help you distinguish yourself.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I was talking earlier about the Unplugged scene, that was early 90s. Well, to commemorate our 20th anniversary, Bob made a guitar called, a body shape called the Grand Auditorium. And probably 80, 90% of the guitars you see, if you see somebody playing it live or on TV or that sort of thing, you probably see a Grand Auditorium. And that's the Taylor shape. That is the modern sound of the acoustic guitar. So that's our all-around workhorse. We call that the Swiss Army knife of our line. Because it sits really comfortably in your lap, or if you're standing, it's not a too big of a guitar. It's got a nice pinched-in waist, and it just produces a clear, balanced sound. So the Grand Auditorium is kind of like the benchmark for the Taylor sound, and that's kind of what I'd start somebody out with. If they need a super versatile guitar that'll do all sorts of styles of music and will handle whatever right-hand technique you have, say you're a strummer or finger style, or you know, play with the pads of your fingers, the Grand Auditorium is a good benchmark for just setting the overall tone of what you're trying to find out of a guitar.
So how thick is the body for a Grand Auditorium versus something where I think probably most people might associate acoustic guitars and think of as a Dreadnought as kind of their, I don't know, starting point or something like that, or their standard.
Yeah.
So compared to a Dreadnought, how thick is it in the sense?
Well, the depth, it doesn't vary too much between, you know, our Grand Auditorium and some of the other bigger models we play. It is a little bit shallower than one of your Dreadnoughts. But we look at the body shape of the guitar as the face of it. You know, when you start playing with the dimensions of the lower bout and the upper bout and the waist, that's when you start changing what goes on for the majority of tone. So it is a little bit shallower than what you find like with a Dreadnought or a new Grand Orchestra model. But I forget exactly what the dimensions are. I think it's 4 7/8, but I'd have to check on that. But it is a little shallower than a Dread.
What would be the best wood combination you think for a Grand Auditorium?
It depends on what you're trying to find. I mean, and that's the thing. Like all of our five body shapes, we do these tests kind of in a sterile environment. So we use the exact same models. Like we'll use a 900 series or Indian Rosewood and Sitka, and then everybody will be able to hear the difference in what the body shape does. And it's pretty substantial and pretty dramatic what the body shapes do. You know, everybody just thinks, oh, it's all about tone, but Bob Taylor will tell you that the overall, the factor that dictates the overall tone is the body shape. Now when you're getting into tone woods, I don't know, you're probably like me when I love bass and I love like sparkly trebles, you know, the smiley curve if you're looking at a big equalizer,
right,
where you have the bass cranked, the mid scooped out and the treble. That's how I always set my dad's car stereo when I was a kid, and he would hate that. He's like, what are you doing? You know, it's just all bass and all treble. But that's, a lot of us gravitate towards that tone. And that, if you're looking at that type of a spectrum, say, you know, nice heavy bass, scoop mid, and nice treble, that's what Indian Rosewood gives you. You know, the classic combination of tone woods, you know, for years and decades are, you know, Sitka spruce top and Indian Rosewood back and side. So, if we're talking EQ, that the back and sides are going to give you the majority of seasoning as far as what changes the EQ for voicing the guitar.
With talking about spruce tops, can you kind of tell us what the difference between a Sitka, a European, and even if you go even more custom with an Adirondack, what are you expect to hear differently with those different tops?
Sure. Well, the top's called a soundboard, so you know it will season the tone overall. But you know, if you look at it like it's kind of like a big speaker, right? So the back and sides give you your EQ, bass, treble, and mids, and the top will give you basically what your volume. Because when you look at a top, when you're building, you're looking at strength to weight ratio. So you need a top that's strong enough to keep that guitar together, but then you also need a top that will get the volume out of that sound hole, okay? So Sitka Spruce, we use Sitka in probably 85% of our guitars, and that's because the strength to weight ratio of Sitka Spruce is really high. And all that means is it's really strong and it's really flexible. So it's kind of the standard for soundboards. Engelmann, European, German, they all kind of sound, a little bit similar. We call it a more broken-in sound. It's a little bit softer, so you're going to get kind of a more mellow, vintagey type of sound out of that. And then Adirondack, man, that's the holy grail of soundboards, especially if you're going for something like with a Dreadnought or a bigger body guitar and you want to really strum. That's got the highest strength-to-weight ratio. It's going to be really, really stiff and really loud. So a lot of people gravitate who are heavy strummers or bluegrassers gravitate towards Adirondack Spruce.
And I've actually found with Adirondack, you can actually see the grain is wider, it appears to be, by when you get to the side. Do we have a color?
No.
Yep.
I have a question for you, because one of the things I noticed about Taylor through the years, you guys were one of the first that I've seen that were using different woods. I mean, you know, the Gibsons and the Martins were rosewood mahogany, pretty much, and, you know, spruce tops. How did he go about? Did he just start experimenting, or was there... What got him into, like, finding Sapel, some of the other woods that you guys use?
Yeah, that's a great question. Before 67, everything was Brazilian rosewood, and then we got to remember that, you know, these things were making into guitars were trees in a forest. And so you just kind of run out of that sort of thing. So, you know, Bob being, you know, growing up in California, being a huge steward of conservation, and, you know, he was green before green was cool, you know what I mean? And so he wanted to find, you know, alternative species of that type of tone we all like rosewood, you know, and mahogany. Those are benchmarks. Those are tried and true great tone woods for any acoustic guitar. So that's when he went to looking for, you know, other sources of that were in the same family, just a different species, you know. So Sapele, it grows, I mean, like it's such a fast-growing wood. And we can get a lot of it, and so it's in the mahogany family. So it's one of those kind of alternative woods that will still sound great, just like mahogany does. And he was probably one of the first ones to use Obenkall, which is the same thing,
right?
Found in Africa, grows great. It's kind of got a cool olivey hue to it. And to me, that's kind of like the dark horse of our whole line, because it's in the rosewood family, so it's got that, you know, nice bass response, scoop mids, nice trebles, but it's got a little extra mojo up in the upper register that I'll find, like just some extra sparkle, mm-hmm, that Indian rosewood doesn't have. So anybody out there who's got an Obenkall guitar, you've got something super special. It's a great tone wood to make guitars out of.
Another quick question. On your 12-string guitars, do you use a double truss watt or a single truss watt in those?
It's a single now, but I've got an old 1979 855 that did have a double truss rod. But now it's a single truss rod.
Oh, okay. Because that was always a problem, like with the Gibsons and the Martins. A lot of guys would tune them down to D because they would bow so much, and it was hard, mm-hmm, to keep the 12 strings at concert pitch. And,
yeah,
and there was
exactly.
Only a few. Like, I have a Guild 12 string, and that has a double truss rod. And even the Rickenbacker 12 strings, the electrics, had double. But I was curious about that, if they had. So he originally did use a double.
Right, but you got to think, like, that's kind of, and Bob Taylor's crowning achievement, guys, is the NT neck. So the new technology neck he came out with back in 99, 2000, that's kind of what Bob Taylor is most proud of. And you got to think, since the way that we build a guitar is off of a fulcrum point, you know, where the neck meets the body, it's not over the whole scale length of the guitar, that NT neck is just super stable right there at that neck joint. And so there's not that extra need for that extra truss rod, you know?
Yeah.
Because you're not going to get that whole, you know, let's say your neck does bow, like, if, you know, with your Guild or that sort of thing, if that guitar had an empty neck, we could pop the neck off, you know, a series of bolts and hit a couple of spaces in there and just reset it for the life of the guitar.
Great.
So you'll never have that problem. I know that's the great thing about Taylor's is, you know, you got a Taylor right now. If you want to hand that down to your great-grandkids, it's going to play just as good as it does today, so...
Oh, that's great.
And I definitely want to cover more of that, but we have a caller, I believe, right?
Yes. Sure. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show. Could I have your name and where you're calling from?
Jim Wilkerson. I'm from Decatur, Illinois, actually.
Welcome, Jim. Do you have a question for our guest?
Thank you. Yeah, interesting show here. I'm a Taylor owner. I got a 915 CE. I love it. I got it in 2005 as an anniversary present, and I haven't heard anything better since.
Now, what year of anniversary was that for, out of curiosity?
What's that?
What year of anniversary was that? Because my wife's here. I'm just trying to...
That was our five-year anniversary.
That five-year anniversary is when you're supposed to buy your partner wood. So you've got a year, Angelina. So just
great,
let you know.
I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, sorry, so go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, that was for 5 years, and Taylor even did a custom a cap that covers the truss rod, that little cap thing that goes over the flap. It's, they made like a marble thing with my initials on it. It was pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
So
very good. Do you have a question for Aaron?
How much success have you had? I'm really interested in the 8-string and the 9-string.
Oh, yeah.
I was actually in the Taylor corporate area last year, and I played a little bit of the 8-string, but I didn't get a chance to try the 9-string.
Yeah, that's a good question. Jim, have you ever been to any of the road shows that we do? Different music stores all across the country.
I haven't had a chance yet, no.
Okay, yeah, check on our website, too, because exactly what we're talking about tonight with Jeff and Scott is, like, we bring that to you guys, so we talk about body shapes and tone woods and that sort of thing. But the 9-string was we did that for our 35th anniversary back in 2009. We did a bunch of stuff. Bob Taylor just built a bunch of weird things that people have been asking for a while, so, like, a 9-string, a parlor guitar. We did a baritone guitar, and some of those were popular enough to kind of make it in the standard line or our built-to-order section, which is our custom shop. Now, the 9-string we can do in our custom shop, you don't see too many of them because it's kind of a super specialty instrument, but our 8-string is a baritone, and that one is super popular, and so you'll see that hanging in dealer stores because it's such a versatile instrument. It's tuned down to B. It's the two middle strings are octaves, so it gives you kind of a jangly type of 12-string sound. It sounds like three guitars in one. It sounds like an acoustic bass, a 6-string, and a 12-string all together in one. So that one's been really popular. People are kind of scared of it because it's tuned down to B, but it's the same chord shapes as you're used to. It's just a fourth lower. So
gotcha,
that one's been really popular, though. Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, thanks for talking.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jim, and we'll give you a call after the show to get your address so we can send you off the shirt, hat, and pick set.
Oh, thanks. Oh, cool, thanks.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Jim.
So let's get back to the NT neck. So I think that's something that's really cool to cover on how you can adjust your neck, or, well, us as the guitar owners wouldn't do it, but an authorized tailor...
Right.
Repair person would do it, but can you talk about how that works and describe that?
Yeah, absolutely. So Bob Taylor's always used some form of a bolt. Like he didn't know any better. You know, he wasn't from a well-to-do family, so he never had a guitar. His first guitar he made. He had he'll tell you that the shop teacher really molded him back in the day, like his metal shop teacher and his woodworking teacher. Really kind of pushed him towards, you know, yeah, you can do this, man. You're great with your hands. You're a great builder. So so he told his high school teacher in the shop that he wanted to make a guitar. And so his shop teacher gave him a copy of a classical guitar building book. And he built a steel string, 12-string out of that book. So, classical guitar is built entirely different than any steel string is. You know, it's built all around the neck. The dimensions have to go from the neck, not the body, and I figured out how to make a 12-string, and he did that. So he never had the blueprint, you know. He never was able to take apart, you know, any of the other guitars that have been around for forever. So he didn't know any better than to bolt a guitar on, and that was heresy back in the day. But now, you know, there are many, many companies who use some form of a bolt. Bourgeois, McPherson, Collings, you know, you name it. It's kind of a standard thing these days. But the way that works is it's kind of like there is a, you guys are probably familiar with this, and if you look at some of your older guitars, I know a couple of my vintage guitars have this called 14th fret rise. So if you sight down the neck at the where the neck meets the body, usually at the 14th fret, you'll have a little rise right there, right?
Right.
That's just from the top of the fretboard being glued directly onto the top of the guitar. And, you know, if you've got years of humidity change and the way your top moves and playing is changing, that that fretboard's going to move too. And that can really wreck your intonation and, you know, your action and that sort of thing. And, you know, if you've ever had to have a neck reset on a dovetail joint, you know what kind of pain that is. So Bob completely alleviated that whole issue with the NT Mech. So it's a series of, like, precision milled spacers that are basically 6 mils apart, so 6/1000ths of an inch, and they can adjust the action perfectly, perfect intonation all the way across the fretboard, and perfect action depending on, you know, that'll suit your, whatever suits your playing style the best. So it's pretty cool to see in action.
We got another caller. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiasts Radio Show. Could I have your name and where you're calling from?
This is Dale Browning from Jacksonville, Florida.
Welcome, Dale. Do you have a question for Aaron?
I just want to say Taylor's a great company. They're very consumer-oriented. I have four Taylors of my own. So I've been to the road shows. Aaron's a great representative for Taylor. And I just want to say hi and ask how he got into the business of working for Taylor.
Nice, Dale. I met Dale quite a few road shows. Like I was saying, these road shows, we just kind of bring custom guitars. There's our stores. We do 250 of them every year across the country at our dealer network. And so I've known Dale for, what, 5 or 6 years now. So hopefully Marcy's doing well. Right, Dale?
Yes.
Family's good? Okay. Glad to hear.
Yes, she is.
So I came to Taylor. I was... make a real long story even longer. I moved to LA. I grew up in Louisiana and played in bands there. Ended up moving to Los Angeles in the early 2000s to kind of chase the dream. And I needed a day job, so I started working at Guitar Center Hollywood, which is one of Taylor Guitar's highest volume Taylor dealers. So I became friends with my rep and just learned everything about those guitars, because that's one of the stores that gets the really cool stuff, you know. So I was just around all sorts of cool guitars all the time. I just kind of immersed myself in the whole, you know, acoustic guitar world and everything. Because before that, I was a Les Paul to a Marshall player, you know. So I made friends with my rep. And luckily, you know, El Cajon is literally, you know, 120 miles away from L.A. So I kind of weaseled my way in. I just kind of came down and met a bunch of people whenever I could. And they were hiring. They had five people who did sales for the independent dealer network back in 2005, and they wanted to expand that, and I was the first guy they hired. So that was 8 years ago. So it's a pretty cool story, but it's an even cooler company. And it really literally feels like I've been there for 2 years. It's like, you know, they say time flies when you're having fun. Well, that's very true in this case. So
I can second that for you. I wouldn't trade my Taylors for nothing. So,
I was going to ask you, Dale. You have four Taylors. My wife might be in the market in a year for a Taylor for her husband. I was curious, you know, if you had it, you might be willing to part with.
No.
How about that blue solid body, Dale? How about that blue solid body?
Taylor came out with a blue solid body, and then they sort of reneged on the idea, and I wrote a letter to Bob Taylor, and I got five responses back, and Aaron called me back and says, we're going to build you that solid body. So I was extremely excited. So, and it's one of a kind, and that's where I'm thoroughly thrilled with my Taylor. So, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, I was going to say, Dale, and that's kind of what I want to let Scott and Jeff know. And you guys have been to the factory, so you kind of get this too. But you know, it's more like when you're a Taylor owner, even if you're not, you're just like Marcy. She doesn't play guitar all day as a wife, but, you know, she's part of the family. You know, it's like you're not just a guitar owner. You get, you know, we send out a quarterly publication. It gives you a behind-the-scenes look. We do road shows. We do tons of outreach. We have a free factory tour every day. So, you know, the vibe and the culture of the company is something we want you to be a part of. So hopefully you feel like you're part of the family. You know, you got those five responses. You know me. You know, you've got my cell phone number. So it's like, you know, once you're an owner, you're more than that. You're part of the family. So hopefully you still feel that way.
Right. You're right. I met some great people there. So, you know.
Well, thanks.
So happy birthday to your one-year-old, sir.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Hi, man.
Well, thanks for calling, Dale. And,
see you, Dale.
Stick by your phone after
Bye.
The show, and we'll give you a call so we can get hooked up with your address and send you off your shirt, hat, and pick set.
Okay, cool.
Thanks.
Right. Good talking to y'all.
All right. Bye.
Yeah, that's definitely something worth mentioning to our listeners. If you're ever in the San Diego area, you got to go to the tour. I mean, it's first of all, I mean, let me just say this. Thank you to Taylor for keeping it for free, because some companies, I think, do charge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just silly, because anybody that's touring the factory, what are we going to go do? We're going to go spend money in your shop, because we're all a bunch of guitar freaks. And we like to own everything that has guitar, anything on it. So, you know, it pays back anyhow. But thank you for keeping it free, and you guys should check it out. It's really, really cool to see the tour. But anyhow, so let's talk about some of your electric, since he had mentioned an electric. Let's talk about
sure.
One of your first electric was the T5, which is an all hollow body electric. Can you
correct
tell us,
and that oh sorry
oh no I was just gonna say can you tell us about how that came about and then yeah, so let's talk about that one first.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of another testament to how Bob Taylor is. It's like, one innovation that we make will lead to another, and then when we make that innovation, it will lead to another. And you look back and you think, well, good grief, if we never did this thing the first time, we would have never had this super cool instrument. So the T5 kind of, well, have you guys ever seen one of our acoustic basses that we built late 90s, early 2000s? We developed with Steve Klein, those real big offset corded sound. Oh, you guys ever see those?
I think you had it at NAMM when it came out, right?
I'm looking forward
a while back, yeah.
I'm looking forward to it in your Taylor book right now, actually. I was admiring the first guitars that Bob had built, but I'll look for it here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. So it was a pretty cool instrument, but it was really big, and, you know, bass players usually have just one bass, and they usually don't have a $3,000 acoustic bass, you know, whereas the guitar players have multiple guitars depending on what style we want to do or what flavor we want. So that got discontinued, but the T5 kind of came back, as they were originally going to try to revoice and totally reimagine the bass. And if you look at the T5, it's kind of got a bigger type of body than you normally see on an electric guitar. But that was kind of born because our proprietary pickup system, which is Expression System, we put some components of that in. It kind of had that body shape for the bass, ready to go with the bass neck on it. And our David Hostler and our other wizards in the R&D department put some pickups configurations from our Expression System, which is our acoustic pickup, slapped a guitar neck on it, and instantly it became one of the most popular acoustic guitars and most popular electric guitars of its time. So it's a hybrid instrument that does truly 95% all the way acoustic and 95% all the way electric guitars all in one. So it's got a mixture of three pickups in there. And it does, you got to run it through an acoustic amp, and you have to run it through an electric amp, and it does both things extremely, extremely well. So
now, do any of your pickups, do you guys do any guitars with single coil? It seems like a lot of them are humbuckers, even the acoustic.
Yeah, the T5, the exposed pickups, it's a stacked humbucker. There is a version of our neck sensor that's underneath the fretboard, which kind of serves like a single coil, even though it's hum canceling. Like, we do have the dummy coil underneath it, but it kind of sounds like that. And especially if you place it on the neck, you know, what's the neck pickup sound like? It sounds, you know, big and warm and that sort of thing, like you expect a neck pickup to sound. But we do make single coils for our solid bodies. And we do all that stuff in-house. You know, we actually one of the largest pickup manufacturers in the entire world, because we make every pickup for our Expression System, for every acoustic we have, and all of our electric pickups as well.
So one of the things I did notice that you guys do, as you said, mentioned you guys make your own pickups. I wanted to ask, with the humbuckers, or, well, I think the expression system is, we've kind of talked about that, but like with your humbuckers, what did you guys do differently there? Or what were you trying to solve by creating your own pickups and designing them in-house?
Well, that was the first ones we came out with were the mini humbuckers. Like if you look at some of our early solid bodies in 2007, 2008, it was a mini humbucker with a Y coil and was absolutely super quiet. So we wanted to have something that was, you know, real punchy and had a voice all of its own, but still was really quiet. So we make actually three. So the mini humbucker is one pickup. We make our high definition pickup, which is what you kind of hear if you're going to hear a T3 or a solid body, real punchy, real bright, and we also make a high gain humbucker with the wider slugs. If you look at the pickup, you'll see it's got wider pole pieces, so that's just got a hotter output, and if you want to play some metal on a Taylor, you can do it.
That would be great to see. Now, the electric that I have always fallen in love with, every time I see it, every time I play one, Angelina, pay attention. No. The T3B, well, one with the Bixby, but it comes either with a Bixby or without a Bixby. That guitar, to me, is just ridiculously beautiful. It's semi-hollow. I love semi-hollows. Can you talk about how you guys came up with that and what you were trying to
sure.
do differently with that guitar?
Sure, absolutely. So going back to the T5, the first year we introduced in 2005 at the NAMM show, which is kind of like, you know, the MI musical instruments industry, the trade show, when we introduced it, it won Acoustic Guitar of the Year and Electric Guitar of the Year. So it's kind of weird to have that trophy, two of those trophies by the guitar. So we originally also, there were some players who, all right, the T5, the way it's able to capture those that really great acoustic sound is it's got a body sensor from our acoustic guitars, from our expression system, that's mounted to the top. So that's what is able to give that truly acoustic property, right? Well, this is the first time we came with an electric guitar, and people were absolutely in love with the way it played and sounded, and they love the electric pickups, right? And they're like, Bob, I don't need that acoustic setting. Can you do something else to just take that away, maybe give me another pickup? So there are some T5s you'll see with two exposed humbuckers. If you look around the internet, sometimes you'll see that. That extra humbucker takes away the body sensor in that first position, and it gives you a fully electric guitar. Well, just the evolution, you know, going back to what it's kind of like a broken record, Bob Taylor's always trying to make things better. And the T3 was kind of that whole, okay, well, let's do this now. The T5 is its own thing for those players who really want an electric guitar. Let's give them the T3. So it's the same body shape, same dimension, same scale length as the T5. It's just blocked in the center, so it'll house, you know, it'll mount the pickups and the tailpiece and the Bixby vibrato if you want that. But that's truly a cool guitar, too. I mean, I absolutely love it because it plays awesome. I mean, it's a great neck on that thing. It's super slinky. Great guitar.
Yeah, absolutely. And the tops on that, I mean, they're maple, and they're just ridiculously beautiful. I mean, I've seen them with walnut, too. You guys do all kinds of crazy tops on them, too.
Exotic. Yeah, exotic tops. You're right.
Very, very cool. And then you guys actually have now, I think they just came out, I think that came out in the past couple of years, a fully solid body. Electric, correct?
Yeah, it's called a solid body. It's a straight-up electric guitar, exactly.
Cool.
And there are some variations. We do like a maple top, direct-mounted humbuckers, or with a pick guard. The cool thing is with our guitars that have a pick guard, it's one of those things where you can, it's plug-and-play, basically. So you can just take out the 10 screws on that pick guard. All the pickups are mounted directly to that pick guard. And you just take it out, and it's like Molex connectors. There's not, you don't have to solder anything. It's completely solderless. You just unplug the pickups and the ground wire, and it's just like, you know, like you're unplugging a Cat 5 cable. Nobody uses those anymore for your computer, but you kind of get the picture. And then you can have a brand new personality for your solid body. If you want to put three single coils in there, if you just want to put one humbucker, we do that. So those pick guards are available in our Taylorware store. So if you have a solid body, you want to change the way it sounds completely and the personality of the guitar, you can do that with any of our guitars, any of our solid bodies with a pick guard.
Very cool. Well, I want to remind our viewers that they can call 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815 in the next 10 minutes and ask Aaron your question. I want to go back to the tone woods. There's a few of your tone woods that you guys use that I don't have a lot of experience with, and I'm kind of curious if you can tell us what kind of sound characteristics they would do to your acoustic, like Kokobolo or the West African Ebony, which is just beautiful. And then
sure.
I have no idea how to say this, but Granadillo, I'm guessing?
Granadillo, yeah, absolutely. And from time to time we'll do that. We'll either release a spring or fall limited with some type of exotic wood, and in this case the spring limited consisted of the Granadillo and the African Ebony, and those sold out really quickly. Granadillo is also one of those woods that grows very quickly, and it's kind of got some mahogany flavor to it, and it's just got a really cool hue of it's a lighter hue of brown, has a great little figure to it as far as some little spots and checks here and there, and it's a great overall just natural sounding tone wood. So when we talk, you know, if we were talking EQ, like so say Rosewood, if we go back to that, how Rosewood had a nice bass response, nice scoop mid range. And then a nice treble response, mahogany squashes all of that into the center. So it's a nice natural mid-range. And that's why people kind of get attracted to that tone wood as well, because it's nice and natural and woody and compressed and sounds great. African Ebony is a super dense tone wood. It's heavy. So it's rich and dark, has a lot of sustain to it. So think rosewood, but even darker. That's kind of what ebony sounds like. We also use Macassar ebony. You can do that in your build to order in our custom shop, which, I mean, the figuring on some of our Macassar ebony is just gorgeous. Looks like just chocolate browns and dark black streaks all over the place, and it sounds great as well. And Kokobolo, I mean, honestly, that's one of my favorite tones as well. It's found in Central America, and it's in the rosewood family also, but it kind of has a little bit extra. It's got a little extra sustain in the low register to me, and then it's got some extra sparkle in the high. So, kind of like Ovenkahl on steroids, if I can use that analogy. But that's a great tone. We love building with that because it absolutely looks gorgeous, and it sounds great too.
Yeah, I was definitely going to say if our listeners haven't seen Kokobolo or even the West African Ebony, they should check it out. It's just when they're pieced together in two pieces, they just make a, I don't know, it's an art piece, really. So
right.
They're beautiful, beautiful woods. Now, I don't remember if it was last year's NAMM or recently, but you guys had just started getting back into making gut string guitars or nylon. What lines do you guys offer that in, and how is that going?
Sure. And we've also always done like the nylon string guitar, and notice I didn't say classical because that's not – you know, that's definitely not what we're doing we're not making a classical guitar. It's got the same, it's basically your pop players, your pop music players' classical guitar. So it feels like your acoustic Taylor. It doesn't have that super wide, you know, 2-2.25-inch neck like normal classicals do with that concave radius on the fretboard. It's easy to play, and so that's why people who want that gut string, nylon string sound, but love the playability of their Taylor steel string will gravitate towards those guitars. So we've done them in different combinations all throughout. We used to build them in our 300, 400, 5, 6, 7, all the way up to the 900 series. And then we dropped out a couple of those tone woods for a while, but now we're back. You can make anything a nylon string that we currently make as a steel string. So basically any tone wood you can think of, and in a grand concert and a grand auditorium body shape.
Now, with your guitars, would you recommend the traditional top of cedar, or does it not necessarily matter with your guys' guitars?
For that, yeah, I mean, a lot of players will like the cedar top, but, you know, it just depends on what body shape you use, too. So it's either cedar or spruce, depending on what flavor you want.
Okay. Now, one of the things I also wanted to mention, we talked a little bit about how Bob is an innovator with technology. You guys were the first, I believe this is the first company to actually laser cut your tops of your guitars. Is that correct?
I'm not sure if we took the trophy for that, but we are one of those companies that definitely embrace CNC technology. and Fidals and Lasers and that sort of thing. I know that, that Bob's good friends with Tom Anderson of Anderson Guitar Works just up north of here and makes spectacular electric guitars also. And, they talk quite a bit because Tom was one of the pioneers of CNC and that sort of thing. But yeah, that's the thing too. And, you know, a lot of people will think like, well, Taylor makes so many guitars a year, they can't, the quality can't be there. And they're just like, they have the Guitar Maker 3000 button and they just push the button, out pop the guitar. I mean, you guys have seen the factory. I mean, we employ 430 something people here in our El Cajon factory, you know, and you've seen everybody hand putting binding on guitars, hand inlaying rosettes, you know. We laser cut our, all of our parts though. So we'll laser cut a top, we'll laser cut the sides, the bridges. So everything is precision milled, and that's how we get such consistent quality and playability through all of our guitars. You know, that's the great thing about it is if you have, you know, 10 A14 CDs, which is a Sitka Rosewood Grand Auditorium, if you have all of those lined up on stands, they're all going to be super consistent and pretty much sound the same. And you can't find that with a lot of other, you know, guitar companies out there. The consistency is what allows, I mean, yeah, the consistency of the lasering is what allows us to have such consistent sounding and playing guitars, so.
Yeah, it's a pretty neat process. They actually show it when you go on the tour. You can actually see them laser cut a few of the tops, and it's pretty neat to see. And I believe, actually, you guys even, for fun little giveaways, you give away the center hole cut as a, what I want to say, drink
water. Yeah, the sound hole coaster,
yeah,
right.
The sound hole coaster, yeah. It's pretty neat. Those are kind of fun to definitely take home.
I've seen people trying to sell those on eBay, too, and we just have stacks of them. We'll just give them to you. So somebody just call me up, and I'll send you a bunch of them.
Do you laser cut the bracing? I'm just curious, does the bracing have does that matter with the consistency between the guitars or that they sound the same?
Yes, and they're milled out the same way, yeah, just so they're super consistent. You're exactly right. So we'll have, you know, piles of braces for, you know, in different bins for whatever guitar is needed to build with. So, yeah, absolutely. That's mostly all of our parts are laser cut, CNC cut.
Okay, and then the same thing with the necks, they're milled or so that they're the same?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So,
and that's the thing, too. Oh, I'm sorry, Scott, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Finish, and I'll ask afterwards.
Yeah, and that's just in an effort to keep everything consistent, you know. And the thing is, like, Bob has to make those tools we have an entire tooling department, and you'll think it's a machine shop that's making, you know, Mercedes-Benz. You know, it's like all of these metal parts everywhere. That's a super important part of Taylor Guitars is our tooling department because, you know, like I said, we can't just buy these things off the street and make a guitar. Bob has to make the tools, and he's done that since he was a kid. You know, think about it before. It's just a testament to what technology does. I mean, think about it before, you know, guitars were made by a chisel and a saw, you know, and then technology, you know, advanced, and then there was electricity, and they had routers, you know, and so people would make guitars out of routers. Nowadays, it's something with CNC and Fidal. You're able to be super consistent and get exactly what you want out of a piece of wood. So it's just a testament to what's happened with technology along the way, you know?
Yeah, but the in playing the guitars like at NAMM and the different ones, the necks are really consistent. I mean, that's always like a stickler. Some guitars, they do them by computer, but they don't feel the same. They are different. But your guitars,
yeah,
the necks were very consistent.
Now, you've mentioned, Jeff had mentioned bracing. What kind of different bracing styles do you guys implement in your guitars, or do you use the same for each guitar?
Yeah, it's usually the same. We do a standard forward-shifted X-brace. You know, and the majority of guitars don't have that forward-shifted X-brace. It's some version of an X, but we do, they're scalloped. All our 300 series and up guitars are done that way. And it's just voiced for the Taylor tone and a super strong brace as far as structurally everything is concerned. So we've also done an asymmetrical brace before. You know, they're always doing stuff to try to make our guitars better. So we've done an asymmetrical brace, whereas one of the X braces is shifted a little bit, and the fan braces kind of taper out towards the lower back, like right in the center strip of the tail block there. So we've done that before. we do braces out of Adirondack spruce and are built to order. And, you know, our nylon strings have a certain fan brace. Our baritones are braced a little bit differently because, you know, just structurally keep the top together to keep the guitar together. And obviously our 12 strings are different bracing. But standard six strings, you're just looking at our modified forward shifted X brace.
The I had a question in the chat room. They were asking about the acoustic sound of the T5. Is that bracing similar to the regular Taylor acoustic guitar, or is it a different type of bracing?
It's a completely different type of bracing. And that's because there are no sides on that guitar. Basically what that thing is one solid chunk of sapele, you know, which is mahogany at the back, okay? And it's like the joke around the factory was that they called it the nut bowl, because once the thing was completely routed out hollow, it looked like something you put on your coffee table and put almonds in, you know, and that sort of thing. So there are no sides to the T5. It's just a top that's glued to a back, which is completely routed out. So what that one looks like, the braces kind of just run the length of the guitar. There are two main ones that run the length of the guitar, and they're very shallow because you want that top to move. There's not a lot of space in there in between the top and the back of the cavity. So that thing is super structural because there are no sides, but it's a different bracing altogether than what our acoustics would be.
Okay, because he was asking, you know, the acoustic sound of that. Would it sound like more like a traditional Taylor, or is it a different sound? For the acoustics,
and it will, but this is the greatest thing about this, too, because whenever I traveled the road and I was still playing in bands, you know, while I was out here, that was my hotel room guitar, because I could just, you know, take it into my hotel room, not plug it in, and it has a cool acoustic sound if you don't have it plugged in, you know, but it's real quiet because it's completely, you know, covered except for the F-hole. But once you plug the thing in, it's got that expression system, body sensor. So that's what makes it sound like an acoustic guitar plugged in. I mean, really, if you closed your eyes and plugged this thing into a PA system or an acoustic amp, you'd have no idea that it was either a T5 or, you know, insert acoustic model here. Mm-hmm. It's that good. Cool thing about T5, too, that I should mention, it's like, it's just, there's nothing about it that's digital. There's no modeling. You don't have to plug a thing in your computer. It's all intelligently placed magnets and wires. You know, technology has been around since the 50s. So our guys, you know, in the R&D department just figured out a way to capture that to make a great acoustic and electric guitar all in one. I'm still blown away that people are still kind of turned on to the T5 because they don't know what it does because, you know, they haven't really seen it in action. But it's been around for 8 years now, and so people are still figuring out what it does.
Very cool. Well, you had mentioned your road shows. We're coming actually to the very end of the show. I just wanted to mention a couple of your road shows that are coming up. You have a road show in Stuart, Florida at Schumer Music. You have a road show at Pasadena, California at Red Zone Guitar Works. Those are both tomorrow for June 25th. And you have one in Huntsville, Texas tomorrow. And then you have for the 26th in 2 days, you have one in Lightning Joe's Guitar Heaven in Arroyo Grande, California. You have one in Dana Beach, Florida, and one in Houston, Texas. So if you guys are anywhere near those, you should definitely come out and just take a look at the Taylor guitars because I'm sure they'll bring some pretty nice customs along with them.
Definitely. And just check our website, too. I mean, our website is a wealth of knowledge of videos and behind-the-scenes look at our factory and how things are done and what's going on. And then you will get a calendar of events, and it'll tell you about road shows and even our Find Your Fit events, which is kind of like having your own personal guitar concierge fit you for a guitar. They'll sit down, okay, well, what kind of music do you play? Let me watch you play. Let me watch your style. What do you want to get out of a guitar? And they will kind of help you fit what you're looking for out of a guitar. Because we make almost 200 different models, and it's kind of can be a daunting task to figure out where to start, you know. Those are some very cool events. Definitely check those out on our website.
Yeah, and the website is taylorguitars.com. So definitely go there. And Aaron, thank you very much. Thank everyone there over at Taylor for having you on and you know guys joining our show. We definitely want to have you back. There's so much stuff we didn't cover, so we just love to have you back. So
anytime. Thanks, Chad.
Next week we have Andy Winston from Samson Technologies or Zoom Technologies. He'll be our guest next week. Coming up, we are happy to announce we have John Five from Marilyn Manson, Zoom Technologies, as I mentioned, Frank Marino, and Conalea Ukuleles.
see you guys next week. Thanks again.
Thanks for listening.